With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Hey, Road Trippin' fam. We are excited to let you know that Road Trippin' is proud to be presented by FanDuel. Never played NBA Daily Fantasy on FanDuel before? Well, check this out. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Why should you play on FanDuel NBA? Well, for one, it is easy to use when it comes to their app. What's not to love about that? But also, for example, they offer different and unique contests across sports in relation to your skill level. Oh yeah, and get this, you can play for big prizes, single game contests for the biggest national matches, and enter contests for as low as 5 cents. That's right, 5 cents. Simply incredible. So again, let's recap. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Enter URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin' to play now and get your deposit bonus. That's URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin' so they know we sent you. FanDuel, more ways to win.
Cheers. I don't know who's drinking. If anyone's drinking, sipping.
I'm always drinking.
Welcome into this edition of Road Trippin'. There you go. Presented by FanDuel. I'm your host, Ali Clifton, alongside Richard Jefferson, Channing Frye, our guest today. If you're an NBA fan, obviously you know exactly who this man is. He spent 17 seasons in the NBA. Will we see him again? We're going to find out. Seven-time All-Star, champion with the Big Three, MVP with the Big Three. His name's Joe Johnson. Welcome, Joe.
What's up, guys?
I'm just trying to figure out how this dude was. Did you say a seven-time All-Star?
Yeah.
That's bullshit. That's a seven-time All-Star. What are you talking about? Seven times, Joe?
Richard, let's not go there. All right, man, hey, you got history, bro.
I know we got history, but seven times. God. This is absurd.
Ladies, have history? Will you please enlighten us? What is this history you
both almost
speak
punch
of?
Him? That would be a great story.
Richard, like, it should have been more, huh? That's how I feel. It should have been more.
I'm not going to say, coming from a person that has zero, I'm not going to say that you should have more than seven.
No, listen. It may not go out, but you all-star.
What?
What you talking about? Who said that?
Coming
from a person who has zero. Who said that?
I have zero.
I'm saying you all. It may say zero, but come on, let's be real.
Richard had one good year.
That ain't true. Me and Joe used to have to guard each other every single time we played.
So you didn't make the All Star team.
No, that was the thing. The funny thing about Joe, and where I think it's cool, and we can start from the beginning, is that literally I didn't know who Joe was, and we worked out against you. How many times did we work out against each other in the pre-draft, Joe?
Almost everyone. I was like, man, are we following this dude? What? Also, where I've seen Richard, I was like, forget it. Let's go.
Let's go. And it was like inadvertently. Like, first of all, I'm pure West Coast kid. He's pure from the South, the country, with the Arkansas. I'm asking questions. Yeah, still. They rose again. It was a short rising. I said the South rose again.
Oh man.
But it was funny because it was like I was asking Joe like questions. I'm like, what does Waddy mean? Can you explain?
What does what mean?
No, yeah, exactly, Allie. A Waddy is a type of, it's a country in Africa. Wadia.
No, Joe knows what I'm talking about. It was like, It was 2001, and I was like, I didn't understand all this Southern lingo and shit, and I used to just ask Joe when we would be in car services together to explain shit to me.
Joe, yeah. Okay,
Joe, we're gonna have to work on your internet. You've made $900 million, and you have 7 All-Stars, and you are in Atlanta, Georgia, and we gotta work on your internet.
My internet is bad over there?
No, I'm just giving you shit, man.
Oh, man, come on, bro.
Joe, what happened in Phoenix that you didn't re-sign?
Wow, Chichani's jumping right
into
this.
Yeah, let's get right into it.
Okay,
Because I came after him, and everyone was like, man, if Joe was here, you know, I think I came 2 or 3 years, and they were still like, we should have never got rid of Joe Johnson.
Well, what happened was, it was Robert Salvage's first year as
That's it. Say no more.
Right. He took over for the Colangelos. So, you know, even though Colangelos was still around to help, you know, orchestrate things, he just kept saying, like, oh, yeah, we're going to take care of you. We're going to get you straight. And then they signed Steve Nash and Quentin Richardson. And it's like, we done spent all this money on them. Like, we can't turn around and, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
give you what you want. And it was like, I think they offered me like 42. And we were just trying to get them to 50. And they wouldn't go to 50. So I was like, I bank on myself then. Forget it. I just play. And here I with Nash, and that's the year Nash got MVP. That's the year Nash got his first MVP. And I averaged like 18 a game, and that's kind of how it sums up, bro. I was gone.
Yeah, but Joe, I want to go back to even before Phoenix, because we joke about working out against each other. And we used to have, because we were two different times. I was athletic. You had all the handle and skill. You're actually taller than me, right? Which was confusing. I was like, yo, this dude's like 6'8".
He's overall better than you, Richard.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, basically. He's better skilled. He was a better shooter. Now, neither of us could really shoot. We could both kind of shoot back then, but like he wasn't a shooter yet. No, Joe wasn't. Okay. Let's refresh. Let me finish my
damn statement. You just dunked the ball, Richard.
Let me refinish my damn statement. Joe, you get drafted by the Celtics, and you're not really playing that much. And obviously, you know, like, that you're talented because you had already bet on yourself multiple times before you got to that spot in Phoenix. Like, what was going on in Boston? Because you guys drafted Kendrick Brown, and they drafted you over me, which, fine. I'm not upset about that. But, what was it like your first couple years? Like, because we're talking to younger players here. Your first couple years not playing at all and then ended up being a 7-time All-Star. Like, because you could say whatever you want about Phoenix not letting Joe Johnson go. Trust me, there were Boston fans that were like, why did we let Joe Johnson go?
Well, what happened was after the third game of the season, my rookie year, Williams get hurt. He get hurt. So Coach O.B. O'Brien, Jim O'Brien's his first year as head coach, he like, look, you got to start. It's against, like, Ray Allen. We played the Milwaukee Bucks against Ray Allen.
Big dog.
Big dog. They was loaded. I scored, like, 27 points. Like, high efficient. And from that point on, it's like every game I'll be, like, at 22, 18. But I'm playing with Paul Pierce, Antoine Walker, Tony Petit. This in their prime.
Yeah.
So – I didn't understand that, so I started for about 15 to 20 games, and then he came to me straight and was like, look, we're going to have to sit you down and give Kendrick Brown a shot.
Yo,
check this out, though. So let me tell you, it took me about 15 years to figure this out. I had gained some value for myself, and they didn't want me to ruin that.
Okay.
Which is why – you know how I got traded to Phoenix for Tony Delk, Rodney Rogers. You know,
all those dudes.
What do you mean you had gained value for yourself? Like, wait, what?
I was averaging like 15 points a game playing with them guys. He set me down when I was averaging 15 points a game. I wasn't like out here on no slouch. Like I was, moving.
Yeah.
Oh, you were scoring.
He came to me straight and was like, look, man, we're going to sit you down and give Kendrick a shot. I caught 10 straight DNPs.
So basically they were planning on trading you and they were planning on trading you guys the whole time. once your value was at an all-time high, they set you down and it was like, let's raise his value. So they were never trying to do, go ahead, Allie.
This was your rookie year?
It was my rookie year, which it was Boston's first year in the playoffs with Paul Pierce and Antoine Walker. We was making the playoffs. They, you know, we were pretty good that year. And they wanted to add veteran help, which is why they went and got Tony Delk and Rodney Rogers. For me, Randy Brown and Milt Palacio.
I mean, what was that like for you as a young player to do what you're supposed to do, to exceed expectations, if you will, and then all of a sudden they just sit you down?
It was confusing because nobody told me that. I had to, like I told you, it took me like 10, 15 years to figure that out. Like, I just felt, they didn't want me. Like, Boston didn't want me, and they were sending me to Phoenix for something else. That's what I felt as a young player, but I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I never got to really see Kendrick Brown. So when, obviously, he was drafted, what pick were you again?
If I was 10, Kendrick was 11, and you was 11. 12.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was like,
no. Richard was 14th, by the way.
I was 13th. It was right outside Radmanovich. It was no, 13th is a lottery pick. Radmanovich was 12.
Oh, the dude that tried to lie to the NBA about hurting his shoulder because he was snowboarding.
Yes, that Vladimir Radmanovich. Yes.
Can you guys give the top? You were 13, Rich.
Yeah.
And you were 10, Joe. Can you give the top 13 picks in your draft right now?
Do you guys know that? Easy. I know Joe can do it.
I think I can do it, bro.
I'll help you out, Joe. It was the Kwame Brown was number one. Pau Gasol was number two. I believe Tyson Chandler or Eddie Curry was three and four, right?
Tyson.
Or like four and
Tyson,
five.
Tyson, then Eddie.
Then it was Shane Bad, Jason Richardson. Wow. Jason Richardson, who wouldn't work out. Did you work out against Jay Rich?
Yeah, I found him. Funny story. So it was me and Jason Richardson and Gilbert Arenas and Jeff Trepanier in Golden State. We played 2-on-2 full court, and me and Jeff playing against Jason Richardson and Gilbert Arenas. We beat them playing full court 2-on-2. But, man, when I tell y'all, Jason Richardson shot the piss out the ball, oh, my God.
Did he? Did he? Man. Okay. I was wondering because it was like we had played against each other in the Final Four. And look, Jay Rich is my guy. Like, we've competed against each other for years. So the same thing. But it was like I felt like I outplayed him in the Final Four. Then all of a sudden I was literally about to just show up at a workout. I was just trying to work out against him or Shane Battier. And the only person I kept getting was you. My agent was like, look, I'm trying to get you against Jay Rich. I'm trying to get you against Shane Battier, but like they're not doing any of these workouts, or he's not working out against you. Now those guys all had the same agent too, Jay Rich and Gilbert. That probably helped. But listen,
man, you talk about catch and shoot and shooting off the dribble like Jay Rich. He didn't miss, dog. Again, going to stay, he didn't miss.
Yeah, that's what happened with Radmanovich. We worked out in Seattle together again. And when I tell you, this dude was 6'9", built, did not miss a shot from deep. Like, I'm over here trying to do my setup, and this dude was just – he just had a ratchet early. And I was like – because the most humbling thing going against the draft is meeting players that are just as good, if not better than you. And it was yeah, we were the number one team in the country at Arizona. Like, we played in the Final Four. So you walk in with this confidence, like, yeah, whatever. But then all of a sudden, I see you. God, who was the guy from NC Charlotte? NC Charlotte.
You know what I'm talking about? Hodges?
No. We played again. We worked out against each other in Detroit.
Rodney
Dangerfield.
No, not him. He was older and white.
Look at this dude.
Don't pay attention to him, Joe. But like, Rodney White was a monster. You were a monster. Radmanovich, monster. All these dudes, like, popped up that I had never heard of. And I'm going in workouts like, yo, what the fuck? Who are these dudes? It was fun, though, man. It was fun because we just worked out every day against each other for, like, two straight weeks.
Yeah, you got
speaking. You got it, Joe. No, you got it.
You got to understand, like, that's, like, we about to make a dream really come true. You know what I mean? So it's like, all right, we got to go in here in these workouts, man. You're going to have to show that you're better than this guy. All right, so let's go. That's what it was. You know what I mean? So that's how you had to approach it. And still to this day, I don't really know how they do it now, but that's how you got to approach it.
Yeah. That's why my thing when people are like, oh, competition, you want to go to a college that doesn't have anybody at and you want to leave early. And you're like, don't you understand that this league is about competition? Right? It was like, look, I competed because I had like Gilbert Arenas, Luke Walton, like we were competing like at school. And then all of a sudden you get to the draft process, like I'm ready to compete. Like Joe Johnson, I don't care. I like whatever. And you looking at me like, I know, listen, I saw you playing a national championship game. I don't give a shit about you. Like you was going at me. Do you remember that workout? And Jeff Trepanier, USC guy, no disrespect. Do you remember where we started off that workout? We both dunked on him like in 1-on-1. Yes.
Man, I only worked. I worked out for the top 10 teams. Boston was the last team. And, you know, sitting there, you know, watching the draft, I'm like, I only worked out for 10 teams. But when I worked out for Boston, me and Richard, man, we played 1-on-1. Man, listen, man, we abusing this dude. I'm talking about it was funny. I'm talking about boom, boom.
and wait, let me – I got to say this because, like, Jeff Trepanier, like I played against him at USC. The dude could play – He like, look, it's I know because I don't want to make it seem like we disrespect man. So like I don't want them to send his boys these clips and then I gotta see Jeff roaming around LA. Like why you do me like that? Look, Jeff could play, he was good, but that was like the end of our workouts. And we cause this my first workout, I kid you not, I didn't work out with anybody. I just shot, did a bunch of stuff. But my first workout was all 1-on-1. No disrespect. I am not a 1-on-1 player. Like, I developed a little bit of that, but, like, I was a slasher, runner, cutter. Right. So, right. I'm going against ISO Joe in my workouts in 1-on-1. So, it was like, I got, like, one move, and then I'm just going to try and jump and dunk it. This dude is pat, 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 crossover, back down, spin, jump.
Like, what but the listen, hell? Tell you, man, we had some great battles, and I still talk about all that to this day. You know, that's why it's so vivid for me. Like, I tell my friends, I break it down. So, you know, it's fun to sit here and me and you talk about this.
Yeah, dog, that was damn near 20 years ago, man. That was crazy. I know, Allie. I told Allie before, we always do a little prep before. I'm like, look, me and Joe got a history. Me and Joe
have really. I think in this history, though, like, was, you know, like, as Channing mentioned, like, you threw some blows at each other or.
That would be more interesting.
You know what I think? I think more than anything, like going through that process of trying to get drafted and like, I literally, if I worked out for 10 teams, I probably seen dude at least 6 times, man. I was talking about, me and him was going at it. I was like, dang, dude, yeah, all right.
Okay, so then like, did you guys like each other? Were you like, not like friends, because you didn't know each other before, right?
Yeah. We know
each other. We never met each other before, but there was respect. There was respect there. There was a competitive respect. Yeah, because by the end, he knew all my moves. I knew all his moves. And we're out here trying to compete against. We're not impressed.
How does he got the worst internet?
Dude, it's like, I'm cutting him off. He's cutting off. Feel bad, Joe. Last time, it was my internet.
No.
Can I ask you, where did I – obviously, if you watch your career you understand ISO Joe, but where did that come from?
Man, I have no idea. So I think the commentator, somebody said, and everybody just kind of been running with it. I honestly don't know.
Mm-hmm. Really?
All right. So here's a question.
Yeah, Chan got a question.
I got lots of questions. So obviously you are a powerhouse. And I think sometimes people forget how good you were. It was just like, okay, we're playing the Hawks. Joe Johnson, 25. Okay, we're down 25, guys. Like, I had a coach tell us at one time. They go, hey, Joe Johnson, we're going to double team the shit out of him, except when he's at the top of the key. And he's going to figure that out by the third quarter, so he might have 25 at one before that, right? Now, obviously, the coach was joking, except you still did get, I think you got 35 or something like that on free throws because you get that. But who was like a guy when you would look, you'd be like, yo, I got to come with it today because defensively – he's a monster.
Man, I would have to say Ron Artest, man.
Oh, yeah. Ron.
Hey, you don't know how strong this is. When he puts his arms like this, these are police barricades. And it doesn't look like a foul because his arms don't bend. But one time I tried to do just a dribble handoffs. he held me in place, and I had a moment. I looked at him like, come on, man, you can't do me like that. I got kids. You can't just move me like a little baby. So damn strong.
Listen, we played it when we used to play against Artez at the time. T. Lou was the point guard here in Atlanta. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to try to hit him with this ha-ha. He ha-ha and went the other way with it. So look, T. Lou was like, T. Lou say, look, man, you can't play with him, man. Just go on, give him what you're going to give him and get on by him because dude going to touch that ball.
but that's funny though. But Joe, that and this is no like Ron Artest, monster defender, and this is no disrespect. Mine. But that was one slight advantage I had over guys like Ron Artest, where I couldn't dribble the way you could. So I would just catch the ball and drive. And right. it's the guys that like played the guys that played in front of him. He was absolutely a monster, right? Absolutely. If you just caught it and go, like he wasn't that. It's like Ben Wallace. Ben Wallace was Defensive Player of the Year. But it wasn't from his on-ball defense. It was his off-ball defense that made him a monster, right? Like, right. He would come, block shots, help defense, steals, all that. But if you just went at his chest, you had a much higher rate of success. So, like, Ron, for you, when you tried to do that, that was difficult?
Yeah, that was difficult. And you know what? It's funny that you say that because that's the same way now. Like, if you just go at a guy, it's a lot better. I mean, obviously, you know guys that you can kind of dance with and get your thing off. But you know when that guy step in the gym, like, all right, ain't no fucking around. I got the.
Yeah. So Ron Artest is the toughest defender you faced in the NBA.
I got the chicken. Yeah, you just can't. You couldn't play with him, man, because he had great reflexes. And he was going to touch that ball if you had it in front of him. So I learned my lesson.
Man,
you learned.
Kirilenko?
Right. Kirilenko was good. Kirilenko was good.
And then because if I started doing really good, I saw Jerry Sloan go switch. And it was, I had Mehmet Okur Boozer. So I'm like, okay, I can get my shot off versus these dudes. And Kirilenko came. I said, God damn it. I just had to stand in the corner. You know, you stand in the corner and Kirilenko's just like, his feet are in the paint, but he's touching you at the 3-point line. And I was like, I can't dribble. I can't pump fake. I got a catch and just like, okay, throw it back. Just whatever I got, I got. Right. And then KG made my life hell. He's not my favorite thing in the world, but like KG.
Oh, yeah.
He just was so smart and active. He would call out our plays, and I was younger back then. So I was like, you know, 25. He would call out our plays, and I'd be like, hey, coach, we got to change the play. He knows it.
Joe, just stand there.
Yeah.
Joe, you mentioned T. Lou, like you had him as your point guard. I played with him towards the end of his career. Like, are you surprised by like the coaching success that you have seen? And that's part one. And two, how fucking funny is T. Lou?
Oh man, I'm not surprised about the success he's having as a coach. He was a coach when he played, man. He was, you know. I learned a lot from him when I first got here. You know, he. Mm-hmm. Took me on his wing, showed me a lot, told me a lot, and, you know, I appreciate him for that. And just a great dude to be around, bro. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you say you don't like him, then you don't like yourself. You know what I mean? That's a good dude.
He was hilarious. All right, man, we're going to go on a little tour around the NBA, right? So, like, you, 7-time All-Star, you know, all the things that you've accomplished in your career. Like, when you're watching a game today, right, and you're seeing small ball, you're seeing a lot more ISO. That I don't want to say a lot more ISO, but it's just more of, because there's so much shooting, the court's wide open now, right? I think guys are still doing Kobe. Guys are still doing the same, like, ISO. But the court is far more open. Like, when you watch this now, the amount of threes and the pace of game, what do you see? Like, who are the players that you're just like, man, that shit's impressive right now?
I'm a big Dame Lillard fan. And I'm just going.
Sorry.
I'm got reasons behind it, but you know, what he's doing is impressive, man. And especially being in the West with that team, you know, they got a great team in Portland. You know, a bunch of young guys, they leading the way. I like them, man. It's been impressive what Dame has been doing, especially in the bubble, man. I was geeked about that. You know, I had a little stint to play in the bubble in the TBT, and that ain't easy, bro. That ain't easy.
Mm-hmm. No, you can't go nowhere. You can't do anything. And it's like you're away from family, friends, kids, all that stuff. No, Dame. Okay. Go ahead, Allie.
No, you got it.
No, you got it.
I was just going to say, before we got on here, we were talking about working out. And you were, Channing mentioned that you looked a little on the slimmer side.
Who are you looking skinny? Were you veganism?
No, I ain't vegan. But, you know, we only get one body, bro. You got to take care of it. You know what I mean?
Yo, Joe, shout out to you talking about yoga, man. Tell them young boys about that yoga.
Listen, it's hot yoga, to be exact. But it's worked wonders for me, for real. Like, it's kept me going. I got a 14-year-old son. I got a 7-year-old daughter. And my son is, like, thick of it as far as working out, hooping. You know, he doing the whole nine. So I just like to be in that grind with him. You know what I mean? As opposed to just being there, tell him, hey, do this, do that. You know, I like to actually be out there with him, going through it, playing defense, him guarding me, things of that sort. So I try to keep my body right.
Has he won yet? Has he beat you yet?
We building, Richard. We building. We building. We building. Building. We build. That's what it's about. We build it. We build.
So what is next? What is next for you?
Like, I don't know. I'm kind of just taking care of my two little ones right now. Mm-hmm. But I got some things in the works, but nothing official at the moment.
I want to talk about your time with the big three. Especially because you were coached by Lisa Leslie, one of the greats. What was that experience like? And I also want to take that conversation and just in terms of having gone through that with a woman as a head coach and what we're starting to see with women in sports in general, but I think also the NBA is such a good vehicle and such a good place for women and the opportunities.
Great question, Allie.
Lisa, let me tell you, Lisa was awesome. I didn't know what to expect, and I'm quite sure she probably know what to expect with me or us as a team. But when you're talking about being prepared, like every weekend, now y'all got to remember, y'all got to know now, we only get 30 minutes of practice each weekend. So if we play on Sunday, everybody got to be there by Saturday, and you get a 30-minute practice. That's it.
Wow.
She would come, she would have this booklet, about 3-4 pages, breakdown of every player, likes, dislikes, they plays they like to run. No other team was doing that. I'm asking guys.
Yeah.
Just to know. Man, what kind of, oh man, they just tell us go out there. Man, she keeps us prepared, keeps us sharp, keeps us straight. Like we had great players, but at the same time, dog, we listened. You know, to our head coach, and she done an awesome job in preparing us every weekend.
Yeah, no, that man. Shout out to Lisa Leslie, because that's again because and where I have a tremendous amount of respect for her as a player and obviously as a coach. But what was really really impressive, like to your point, is like, you know, I'm not going to speak for Lisa, but she also understands that the position that she's put in, she's got to bring it. She's got to be prepared. She's got to do it because she knows that so many, you know, people paved the way for her to be in that position, that for her to just show up and be like, man, y'all got this, go hoot. And it's like, no. This is a lot of eyes are on you and how you're going to handle this opportunity. So for her to show up, like you said, prepared. But, you know, like you said, that's also part of the reason why you guys had a ton of success.
Yeah, it was. And then, you know what? It was like during the week. Now, you know, like during the week, guys kind of do what they do. Now, I train during the week. I try to make sure guys getting their work in, you know, so you don't come here on the weekend just thinking you can just come here and hoop and we're going to get a dub. Nah, you got to do something during the week. Lisa calling me during the week, telling me, hey, look, I think we need to do this, that. I'm like, all right, do it. So, you know, it was fun, man. I enjoyed it. And I hate we missed out on it, you know, this past year. But if possible, hopefully we'll get another run at it.
Would you like to see more women in coaching roles in the NBA, for example? I mean, we see a handful of them. Obviously, Becky Hammon with the Spurs is one that stands out to so many. But also, there's other positions within the front office with the NBA that are giving women those opportunities. And having gone through it and winning with the big three and then having spent time in the NBA, would you like to see that? Is that something that you would support?
I love to see that. I think those women are doing a great job. And there are more women that's, you know, very deserving of the opportunity. Why not?
Yeah. Do you now? I'm going to ask you. You ain't got to say no names. So Lisa Leslie was your head coach, and you talked about the phone calls. You talked about the scouting reports and all the things that she did for just a simple 30-minute practice. Was she better than some of the head coaches that you had in the NBA?
Oh, no.
Now, I'm not, you don't got to say, but I'm just saying, you ain't got to say
he
no names.
No questions.
You ain't got to say no names. I'm just asking you, were you better prepared with Lisa Leslie as your coach than one, if not more, of the coaches that you had over your 17-year career?
No question, man. That's them facts. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, okay.
She done a remarkable job, man. And it showed, you know, in us winning. And I got I wish I had a couple of Mariah, because I kept a couple of the little reports she would bring every weekend. I kept a couple of them, but she would put our names on them just in case she ever seen them sitting somewhere. She would.
That's smart. That is smart.
Yeah, y'all, listen.
Joe, we're gonna make you send us those scout. Just, you gotta send us a picture of a couple of those, and we're gonna post that. And you know, because these are the conversations, man. These are the things that will help open up the public's eyes to the opportunities that, like, these, it's not just about being a basketball player. Can you relate? It's about being a basketball mind. And some of the, you know, some of the people that are given these opportunities, like Lisa, like Becky, you know, so many of them just need more people to
Carol
understand.
Lawson.
Yeah, Sarah, you know, Carol Lawson. There's so many people that are just like, you know, Sue Bird. Like, again, we could keep going, that are just great basketball minds.
Yeah, but you know, it has to start somewhere. You know, these ladies are, you know, setting the playing field, and you know, in what, the next 4 to 5 years, you could easily see another 4 to 5 women coaching.
Okay.
So,
yeah. What, Channing? What? Channing has something to say.
Random question.
Here it goes. Yeah.
Obviously, so James Harden and the Nets, right? Do you think from the East, here's basically my question. The West, I think, is LeBron and the Lakers right now. Obviously, I think they're going to make the finals. Who do you have coming out the West and why?
East.
Who do I have coming out?
Too.
I like the Nets. I really do. And you got to have that cohesiveness as far as a team. Everybody being on one accord to make it that far, I would assume. I ain't never played in the finals, so I couldn't tell you that. I've been in the Western Conference. So, I don't know, man.
Channing, stop. No, look. Channing wants to be snide. He wants to say something smart-ass.
Like, I can't say this man.
No, this man's got 7 All-Stars. It doesn't matter that I have 4 finals and a championship. He's got 7.
Get up off here with all that, man. Y'all calling my phone with all this.
Joe, man, we started this together, man. You got some things. I got a couple things. That was it, Joe.
Man, I'm happy for you.
Jimmy, I was happy for you every time you made one of those All-Star games.
Both of y'all, the first 100 million y'all made. That's crazy.
Yeah. You know one part that I was a little salty at, and I have no problem being 100% honest, because you bet on yourself and you did not sign an extension, you were a part of that salary jump. So you signed like a 5-year, $70 million deal, and you hadn't been an All-Star yet, but you and Gilbert both, because Gilbert was a second round pick. He signed, like, after his second year, he signed a $60 million deal. Then you bet on yourself. You signed a 5-year, $70 million deal. And I'm sitting over here like, wait, I did all this damn work?
Hey, Rich,
I'm on good teams. I'm doing the work.
Hey, listen, you only need one team, dog.
One team.
You only need one team to believe in you, bro. Just one team.
As long as it's not the team you drafted with. Then you're good. Joe, okay, so we're gonna stay with the Nets. Now I wanna say this. Obviously Brooklyn.
Wait, so is that your team that you think is coming out of the East though?
Yeah, I
more than the Bucks or more than the Bucks or the Celtics? Those are the only 3 reasonable teams.
I like you don't like You don't like Philly? Ain't got a chance.
His cousin, his own kinfolk play with Philly.
I said, what's wrong with y'all?
Tobias
Harris is talking about you on TV.
He's saying they're not gonna do it.
I think
they're
bored. Put it this way. I'll say this. Embiid is playing out of his mind right now. He's playing mad. But can he do that and then still have something in the tank for the playoffs?
I want James to go to Philly, bro.
Who?
You wanted James to go to Philly? Yeah. That would have been an interesting pairing to watch. But look.
That's not no knock on whoever they would have had to get rid of, but I just think having him and Embiid out there together on the floor, that's too dynamic, man. A big man and a guard who can then he would have kept the ball in his hands a lot.
We're gonna go back
to Brooklyn. We're not done talking about Brooklyn because you had a stint in Brooklyn, a very, very good stint. What happened? Because so much because that era, your era of Brooklyn, where it was you, Darren Williams, then you had Brooke Lopez, you had Paul Pierce, you had Kevin Garnett. Now, mind you, they were supposed to be on the latter part of their career, which was fine, but you and Darren and Brooke, you guys were in the prime of your career. So it was like, it was supposed to be like this mesh. You had Jason Kidd as a head coach. And look, you guys won a first round series, I think once or twice. You guys never really hit the way it was supposed to. And then subsequently the next 5 years of the Nets after all of you guys left was terrible.
You can
and
say
everyone
do,
always looked
do do.
Everyone looked at no like terror. That kind of that era of giving away all of your picks to do it. It goes down in NBA lore. What happened? Why did you guys cap out where you did?
I don't know, man. Honestly, I think
Don't fucking lie, because I know the truth. But
a lot of it has to do with sacrificing. You know what I mean? Put a team like that together, you can't. Obviously, your numbers are going to drop. You know, for the betterment of the team. You know, for us winning. And I'm gonna tell you what happened. We started off about 10-12 games under 500, and Darren Williams gets hurt. And Brooke goes out for the season. He messes up his
foot. All right, ankle.
We're playing through Brooke, and he's a low post player, but you see what Brooke's doing now in Milwaukee. You know, that's what he wanted to do then in Brooklyn, but they kept him on the block. So we played through Brooke. Obviously, that didn't work. Him and Darren Williams go down. We 15 games on the 500, out the playoffs. We're on the front of Sports Illustrated looking like some fools.
Okay. He didn't like that.
They get hurt. We get to 500. Not only do we get to 500, then we come up to about 500 games over .500, and we get in the playoffs, and we knock off a top team.
Yeah,
but we never had the chemistry, bro, to continue or to be a top team or to beat the Heat. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, so again, when we're looking at the Brooklyn Nets now, you understand this. Putting together the top talent in the NBA, and you guys had top talent and you had depth. It wasn't just three guys. Right now, obviously, injuries with Darren and Brooke and all that. But ultimately, you understand that chemistry is, what do you think, 20-30% of the battle when you're talking about, a talented team?
Yeah. I say
bye. Well, I was going to say, how do teams, you think of the Kobe Shaq eras in the championships they were able to win. How are teams able to win if the chemistry isn't 100?
Greatness.
Yeah.
It just becomes that level of talent.
Yeah, he's like, hey, listen, I'm a break.
If you're dealing with, I've had players on teams that were the two best guys that wouldn't like to be in the same room with each other outside the court.
Right.
But on the court, both of them were like, I want to win, you want to win, and I need you to do this, and I need to do – and so it was like that. You would think on the court they were best friends. The minute the court was off, they just went pum and wouldn't talk to each other. And we were okay with that because they were pros, right? We're doing warm-ups, one's on one side, one's on the other. And for the most part, I think, I appreciate that they never talk crap about each other. They were just like – I think I could do it without you, and then you think you could do it without me. But at the end of the day, for us to be better, we need each other.
So it does come down to that, though. If when you step between the lines, you are on the same page.
Yeah, man.
Whether or not.
Yeah, yeah, dude. It doesn't matter because you're not going to like everybody. But if you want to win, you're going to figure it out.
Right.
You figure it out, right? You. That's what the coach is for.
And, and be honest. Like, my thing is this. We're going to talk about, like, the Warriors were the last super team we saw, right? If those three players, Kyrie, James, and Kevin Durant, if they can have similar chemistry as that Warriors team, dog, nothing's stopping them. There's just too much. Like, now they need some defense. They got to work out some stuff. But if they just became the Phoenix Suns, Houston Rockets 2.0, where they just try to outscore you, they got the firepower to outscore pretty much anybody.
Disgusting.
The one thing I don't think anyone ever talks about, though, is James's willingness to pass the ball.
What do you
like
mean?
His ability to – that's what I'm saying. His ability to score has always just overshadowed
his
the
passive.
Assist game, his facilitating, yeah.
He is a underlying – I think in James's back corner that he keeps on his software of his game, he is a true point guard. Because if you notice, I think James – damn it, Richard.
What? No, good. Sorry, my battery died. Keep going with your point. Can you remember it, what you were saying?
You know I got bad ADD, food. I had a coffee. So James had like 7 assists in the first half. And I said, hold on, how many points did he? I think he had like 11 or 12. And then all of a sudden he gets 30, a triple-double. Like he was feeding Christian Wood, like spoon-feeding Christian Wood the beginning of the year. And not that I don't think Christian Wood could do it himself, but it ain't going to be like that. You know, James Harden ain't going to draw a whole team and then throw perfect lob passes where you don't have to dribble. I think that's what the Nets needed. When Spencer Dinwiddie went out, Spencer does a lot of things at a solid level. James Harden does a lot of things at a MVP superstar level, which is going to help.
He's doing it at that MVP level because he draws so much attention, man. You know what I mean? Like, you're so scared of him coming off a pick and roll or an ISO situation that if he's going off pick and roll to big, it's automatically, no, I got to be up. I can't get this guy.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so
the little pocket passes and the over-the-top passes, those are always going to be there.
I got a question for you guys.
Go ahead.
And this is coming from a place of all respect. But how would you describe the challenge now that Steve Nash has?
Why do you shake your head?
Why do you shake your head? It's a catch-22. There's more pressure.
You guys both play with Steve. You guys both play with Steve.
There's more pressure on him, but at the same time, when you're working with better ingredients, the simpler the meal has to be for it to be delicious, right? And that's my analogy. Like, he doesn't have to go over a late game. It goes, hey, KD, the greatest scorer of our time, you have the ball at the end of the game. And if you get double teamed, oh yeah, pass to the guy that led the league in scoring for the last 5 years. Oh, and then if you get double teamed, go give it to Kyrie, who hit the hardest, best shot in a championship game. Give it to that guy. So, like, there are options. Oh, Joe Harris. Like you got options.
With them guys, I love Joe Harris. I think – I love Joe Harris playing because he's obviously a knockdown shooter.
Oh.
Huh?
Oh, there you go. Now you got a punt. Yeah.
Oh, he's a he's a knockdown shooter with all that. He's athletic, man. He plays great off them dudes, man.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's going to get wide open shots. He gets wide. Like, dude, I was watching the game last night, and it's like, dude, no. You will never understand the level of open shots you get. Again, it's like playing with Steve Nash. When you play with Steve, no disrespect, all you had to do was get to the spot, and you were going to get open shots. And you just had to knock them down. Now, it's not that simple, but it's pretty much when it comes to the game. Same with playing with Jason Kidd. Listen, Steve Nash helped you get paid. Jay Kidd helped me get paid. We both understand the appreciation of a guard that knows how to get you the ball.
Listen, when Joe Harris got that contract, I was like, wow, that's crazy. And then all of a sudden I go, you know what? It ain't that crazy. My man is out there barbecuing for one quarter, and then they can't double-team nobody. Because you're like, I take my chances with KD, which is a horrible sentence for whoever's guarding KD.
You take chances with KD?
Huh?
What you saying? You'll take your chances with KD?
No, that's what a coach has to say, because he goes, you can't double team KD anymore. If Joe Harris got 3 for 3, you're like, okay, I can't keep giving up these threes, double teaming KD. Hey, so you got to look at somebody and be like, hey, you got to take a one-on-one. And then all of a sudden you hear that click on the barbecue. Click, 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 click. They start hitting you with that 7-foot crossover.
This is a barbecue. Click, 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 click. And that's how start.
Next thing you know, ooh, what is that, 50? Oh, damn.
Click, 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 click.
You can't guard there, bro.
Yeah, you can't guard him.
He's shooting 60-something percent. Like, I watched, I think he shot 60-something percent last night. So I'm like, man, from three and from two, and you're shooting 100% from the free throw line.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, okay, look, if you're playing against a Kevin Durant led team, right? Your entire defense, your entire focus is on like, hey, Kevin Durant, this is how we're going to guard him. This is what we're going to do. Like the bigs, this is your responsibility. The wings, this is your responsibility. The forward, like everybody, these are your responsibilities. We're going to shift them here. We're going to do this. Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie all have had entire teams' defense focused on them, right? Now there's all three of them on the court. That means, like, dog, one time I saw James Harden being guarded by Cole Anthony last night because, like, he was, like, because they had the other guy chasing around Kevin Durant.
You're like, hey, Cole, so switch to – no, no, no.
You got James. It's like James Harden, the – what do you do?
But what makes it so great about all three of them, they all can catch and shoot.
Yeah.
They all need it all. You know what I'm saying? They like to have it, but they don't need it. They can catch and shoot.
Yeah. And the problem is if you guard them on defense and they happen to get that rebound, you will be like,
right.
Don't see that quick trap at half court. Look, right. I got put on KD multiple times in my young career. I have never felt more vulnerable ever in my life. I'm like this. I said, where's my help? Where's my help?
I felt that vulnerable guarding him in the finals when he was going for 35. And I was just like, I don't know what I can do. I'm just going to be in front of you.
Let's end this conversation with this, because I know Channing loves to fill in the blank.
Okay.
But because we have yet to see it come to fruition, because Kyrie has not returned just yet. But let me ask you guys this. Fill in the blank. If the net situation were to not work out at the end of this season, it will be because of what?
Who's going first?
Joe. I ain't saying nothing. No, I'm joking.
Nah, yeah. Y'all go ahead.
If it doesn't work out, now again, I don't
think. Because again, we all see it on paper and we all think that it's going to be great, right? So at the end of the day, if it doesn't end up working out, it'll be because of what?
No, I think it's going to work, honestly. I think it's going to work out.
Yeah, it's not championship. It's not, my thing is like, it's not championship or you had a bad season. I don't believe in that. I believe that if they got to the conference finals and, you know, Milwaukee played well, or Boston, because they're, look, right now they are three superstars and the team is not really built. Like if you going into next season and they can fill in the blanks, because they're literally the 18th or 22nd ranked defense. That stuff doesn't matter. But when you get against, imagine the Lakers, who have the number one ranked defense and a top five offense, Bron, AD, Schroeder, all of these dudes, if those dudes are loaded. You know, so I'm just saying, like, from that standpoint, like, if they lose to the Lakers in their first year because this team wasn't built perfectly around them, now going into the next season, if they add defenders, they add a little bit more big help, another wing defender, another guard defender to complement the group, now that's when you start talking about, like, championship or bust.
I think they do it. For me, I would just say injuries, right? They're already thin. They're very thin. I think halfway through, like once James gets back, Kyrie gets back, I think they're going to mess around and play KD at the five and just say, we'll take our chances. Because at that point, who are you putting at the four or the five that can handle KD? And at the end of the day, there's only one or two guys that are going to post up the Nets as much as and actually make the game. And that's Vooch last night was killing. And then mm-hmm. that's Fuller Lee. Those are only two big men that are really going to punish you down there at the five position where you'd have to worry about it, right? Where you may have to double team. But I think injuries, but I have them going to the finals. And I don't expect the championship, but they have to get to the finals with this team.
Okay, so conference finals. Joe, what you got?
I got them getting to the finals, man.
We have them coming out of
these. Dude, watching them, dude, it looks scary and it looks real easy for them.
Well, the best part of the NBA is games happen and they come at you really fast. So we're about to find out really soon because Kyrie is on his way back, apparently.
I'm saying it because James probably feels rejuvenated. You know, he's really locked in. I think he's, you know, he hears the whispers, so.
Yeah. Well, and Joe's one of those dudes that James is one of those guys that's like, James, like, everyone's got to sacrifice, blah, blah, blah. This is what we need from you. We need you to go and average 25 and 12 assists. Right. But those 12 assists aren't drop passes. Some of them are that. But those 12 assists have to be to KD, have to be to Kyrie, have to be to Joe Harris. And then you go get your 10, 12 free throws. You go get your 24 points, and you lead the league in assists the rest of the way. That's going to – because that's what they got to find their formula. Their formula is like, okay, well, everyone can't – you can't average 35, he can't average 30, and you average 25. That's, you know, there's just not enough basketballs for that, whatever. And so if you're like, dude, just go average 12, 13 assists with this group and you still get your 25, you're going to be second, first team all NBA still.
Right.
I think he's going to do a number on assists because I think for him, he's like, I can get 15 one game. And then, hey, if this is a matchup for us, I go get 50 if I need to. Right. And I think James Harden is going to say for us to be well, I think he's tired of having to carry the whole load for a team. And if you watch that game, I watched that game like just James Harden. He was actually like making simple plays for everybody. Boom, boom. Even if it wasn't an assist. And now once people get used to getting spoon-fed, because everyone's going to think, oh, dang, we need to double-team James. Boom, Joe Harris. So I think he's going to mess around and set that record for most assists for a season.
Can y'all imagine bringing the ball up the court and as soon as you cross half, they send two guys at you?
Oh, it sucks.
They do it for a whole second half. Like, you can't – can you imagine something like that, man?
No.
Mm-mm. No, you can't.
No. You think you can't?
Yeah. No, it's going to be fun. And people are like, oh, it's bad, and I'm glad that there's parity in the league. Screw parity. Give me a superstar team. Give me a team that's a villain that everybody either is rooting for them or they want to watch them lose, or you just want to watch to see what's going to happen. I kind of enjoy that portion of the NBA more than just a, hey, we don't know who's going to win, right? Like that's the shit I want to see.
Right, and right.
Joe, we have enjoyed having you on. We don't want to take too much more of your time. Well, thank you so much. This has been fun. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, Joe, man.
Hey, Road Trippin' fam, we are excited to let you know that Road Trippin' is proud to be presented by FanDuel. Never played NBA Daily Fantasy on FanDuel before? Well, check this out. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Why should you play on FanDuel NBA? Well, for one, it is easy to use when it comes to their app. What's not to love about that? But also, for example, they offer different and unique contests across sports in relation to your skill level. Oh yeah, and get this. You can play for big prizes, single game contests for the biggest national matches, and enter contests for as low as 5 cents. That's right. 5 cents. Simply incredible. So again, let's recap. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Enter URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin' to play now and get your deposit bonus. That's URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin' so they know we sent you. FanDuel, more ways to win.